This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The 154-year-old Swiss watch brand Tag Heuer has seen a year of change in 2015. The company just got a new CEO, they readjusted their price positioning, and then they joined the smartwatch game. They partnered with Google and Intel to combat the threat of the Apple Watch. So here to tell us more about these changes is Amelia Szilard, the Vice President for Southeast Asia for Tag Heuer. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Amelia.
Thank you.
Right, so let's start with the catalyst behind all these changes. It's been almost exactly a year since the new management team was announced, and Jean-Claude Biver was made CEO of Tag Heuer. How has the last 12 months been different for you and the company?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Biver joined as the CEO of Tag Heuer about a year ago. He was also the president of the LVMH watch group previously. It's been very exciting, especially in terms of positioning the brand as disruptive, dynamic, young and avant-garde. We've had a very good marketing strategy, especially with events, disruptive events, and also in terms of product. We are focusing on our best sellers, the Aqua Racer. So it's been very, very interesting and exciting for us.
I mean, Mr. Biver, he is very influential in this industry. I mean, he himself had spearheaded or was very successful in turning around, rejuvenating the Omega brand as well under the LVMH group. So does he bring that same kind of passion to...
Yes.
To Tag.
Yes, he has an incredible passion. He's an inspiration for all of us. We are very well, we're very thrilled to have him as the pilot in our plane.
Well, tell us a little bit about the price positioning, because that's very important. Mm-hmm. I thought it was recalibrated this year. You've returned to the original price positioning of between 1,000 to 5,000, of which Tag Heuer once led the market in.
Mm-hmm, correct. So Tag Heuer is an exclusive luxury brand in the affordable price range. So our average price would be $3,000. And for us, it's very key to keep that price positioning. Also, we've been in many countries for many years. The first Swiss watch that people own or buy. We are, you know, many times a graduation gift. So making sure that we keep this connection with the young people at this right price point is really key for our success.
So if you could describe to me in your mind who the Tag Heuer customer is.
Well, you know, the Tag Heuer customer can be of any age, but because maybe you would have had a graduation gift 30 years ago, and we are still seeing a lot of customers like this in our stores. But indeed, you know, in general, it's one of the first watches that you own. So the Tag Heuer customer would be young, would be a bit rebellious, self-confident, a bit disruptive also, and connected to tomorrow's world.
So when prices increased, did you lose a lot of that, you know, that youthful customer that you once dominated the market in?
Yes, I would say, you know, we lost some of them. It was very important for us this year to go back in this sweet price positioning, mm-hmm. and to also focus on the Aqua Racer. So there are three main collections in Tag Heuer, which is the Carrera, the high-end, I would say, collection. You have the Aqua Racer, mm-hmm. Which is our bestseller. It's really the sports watch that we are associated with since the 80s, and then the Formula One. And we focused a lot in the Carrera in our advertising these past years. And this year, it was really a refocusing on the Aqua Racer, especially for Southeast Asia. I think, of course, you know, in each country, there would be a different strategy. But for Southeast Asia, we decided to focus more on the Aqua Racer, which has this good price point.
I see. So in each market, there's kind of a tailored marketing strategy.
Correct.
So you look after Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. Apart from price point, what what other considerations do you think about when you are tailoring your marketing strategy?
Yes. Well, for us here, it's really key also to focus on locals. And I think that's also a difference versus other brands. We are in Singapore, we're very strong with Singaporeans and Malaysians. We're focusing on Malaysians. In Indonesia, the same. In Thailand, we're selling to Thai. So in each of these countries, we're really focusing on our locals. So when we do our product assortment, also when we develop our marketing strategy.
And, so does that mean using local celebrity endorsements or speaking? How do you speak to a local culture?
Okay, well, I think it would be in terms of distribution, making sure we are in the malls where locals shop, making sure that in our advertising or our events, we are catering our activities towards locals. And that, you know, of course, tourists represent a good additional revenue for us, but our focus is the locals.
So what kind of product development, how often do you release new models? So you mentioned three key model lines. How often do you relaunch them?
Okay, so there's a fair in the Swiss watch industry that happens every year, which is Basel Fair in
that
March.
That happened in March, yes.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And we are presenting all the new models of the year during Basel. We would have deliveries of new products around July and then at this time of the year in December. So we have very nice new models of Aquaracer right now in the stores. You can also see the advertising. So some of the ceramic Basel with brown or blue, some very nice color combination for men.
Almost every year you'd have a new kind of product launch?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Amelia, let's talk about the very exciting news of Tag Heuer releasing a smartwatch. Now, you've partnered with Google and Intel and released it, I think, was early November. I see you're wearing one right now and holding it in your hands. So talk to us a little bit about this new Tag Heuer connected watch.
Yes, well, we launched it on November 9 in the US. It's been a phenomenal success. So it has all the functions of a connected watch, such as the texts, the emails, the search for maps, and also you have 25 hours of battery. But also, what's very special about the watch is the design. It's inspired by the Kara Heuer 01. It's made of titanium grade 2. So it's very light, 52 grams. The diameter of 46 millimeter helps a very good readability. And what's really great about it is also after two years of warranty, the customer can come back to the store and exchange it with a Carrera mechanical watch. So the price of this Carrera mechanical watch will be the same as the connected watch today. So it's $1,500. So if you pay $1,500 in 2 years' time, so total would be about $3,000. You get a Carrera mechanical watch.
Okay.
So it's really a good price when you think that actually the entry price for a Carrera mechanical watch today is $3,150.
So the idea is you get a mechanical watch and also a smart watch, so to
Correct.
Speak. But how do you then overcome the changes in technology? So let's just say after 2 years, you know, the technology changes and it becomes obsolete. So you would then change for a new smart watch?
Well, the customer would have the option to buy the Kara mechanical watch, but we wouldn't change to a new smartwatch. However, there may be new connected watches available in Tag Heuer in the coming years. I don't know.
Technology changes so quickly.
Yeah.
Let's talk also a little bit about what the smartwatch is supposed to be doing, because with the Apple, and I'm just going to make a comparison with the Apple smartwatch, that is about functionality, about the utility of it. But with buying luxury watches, you know, that is a question of passion, of taste. It's an emotional purchase. Talk to us a little bit about trying to market a smart watch or a connected watch, which is trying to push functionality and utility versus form and fashion and aesthetics.
Yes, correct. So in this launch, we're combining the function as well as the durability of the luxury. So our Mr. Beaver, our CEO, called this campaign "Connected to Eternity," or actually even he presented during the press conference in New York that it's an eternity in a box. So with this, you get the function of the connected watch that you can find in other devices, but you also always can see the time on displayed on the watch. So it's a real watch with also the beautiful aspects of the detailing of the case, of the strap, of the dial and the face. And then after 2 years, you can also be part of the owners of the Swiss mechanical watch. So I think it's really a good way to combine both worlds, the world of technology as well as the world of Swiss watchmaking.
Are you concerned that this connected watch might cannibalize sales of the mechanical watches? Because you're targeting the same people, the young, the newly rich perhaps, or the ones with disposable income. I've noticed you wearing the connected watch and a mechanical watch on top of that. Not a lot of people will opt for both, right? So it's one or the other. Are you concerned that it could cannibalize sales?
Well, I think today the reality is that our competitors are not only the Swiss other Swiss watch brands, but it's any tech device or any accessory. And instead of just looking at what happens in the market and that, well, you know, indeed you have less young people today wearing Swiss watches compared to a few years ago, we decided to be proactive. And I think it's really the mindset of the company to be proactive and not just look at what's happening, but find solutions and push our boundaries. So it's been about a year. We've been working on the project with Intel and Google, and we didn't know if it would work. We were not sure if it was there was a hype around the smartwatches, or if it would be, you know, trend like the quartz, which would, you know, really be a big tsunami for the Swiss watch industry. So we decided to work with the two best partners, Google and Intel, and came up with this product. So I think overall, it's been such a good success that we are very happy that we took the risk. Is it going to cannibalize? I mean, it's still meant for people that want to have a connected watch. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, in 2 years, we give them the possibility to own a mechanical watch. So it's a good way to bridge the gap.
I'm really glad you brought up the quartz disruptive factor into the industry. So I think in the 1970s, 1980s, there was a quartz crisis, they called it. And it really disrupted the Swiss luxury watch market. Do you think that the smartwatch, and to a large extent, the smartphone has disrupted the watch industry? Because people can opt to not have a watch anymore and just use their phones.
Yes, correct. I mean, we're seeing that there's definitely a different trend coming up, and we reacted to it. And Mr. Beaver, I'm going back to the press conference he did on November 9. He said that it was a critical moment for the Swiss watch industry to ensure, you know, that it still exists in a few years, and it was. It says it's a very important moment for the Swiss watch.
So the connected watch is available here in Malaysia?
It's going to be available this year. Mm-hmm. So it was launched in the US, sold out in a few days. It's being launched for the Southeast Asia. It will be launched in spring.
Do you see this trend picking up in Southeast Asia? I mean, this is a younger market relative to the Western world, right?
Yes. I think it will be even more successful. We've had many, many demands, and we have already a wait list for this watch. So I'm sure it will be successful.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Tag Heuer in Malaysia. It's just one of the many countries that you look at under your portfolio. Specifically for Malaysia, tell us a little bit about the operations of Tag Heuer here, distribution and sales.
Okay. We have 40 point of sales in Malaysia, four boutiques in KL, two boutiques in Penang. You know, it's a very important market for us, growing also. We've had a good year, despite, you know, the GST implementation and some troubles along the way. So we are very happy to have such a strong business in Malaysia. And as I was telling you earlier, it's also very much focused on locals.
How do you determine that Malaysia is performing well relative to other markets?
So we receive the Swiss watch exports on a regular basis. And I looked at the data year to date, October. And for both markets of Malaysia and Singapore, the exports are slightly decreasing. But looking at ourselves, I know we're taking market share.
a large part, I guess, of increasing market share is also the consumer knowledge about these luxury watches, right? So how do you encourage consumers to, I guess, pursue, or would say even hobby of collecting luxury watches or owning luxury watches? That requires a certain amount of education in the market.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So the marketing strategy we have is to position our brand as a young, disruptive, avant-garde. And we would do many events, and we've done actually some interesting events in Southeast Asia, such as, for example, Maria Sharapova playing on a floating tennis court on the river in Singapore. And there was another one also. We've done an event in Singapore with Jenson Button during the Grand Prix, the F1 Grand Prix, in which he chose the best design of helmet from La Salle College of the Arts. So we've done a competition with La Salle College of the Arts. So I think it's with an event strategy in which we would communicate every 2, every 3 weeks about our world of, you know, the world of sports, motor racing, which is part of our DNA, the world of music and the arts. World of lifestyle also. Cara Delevingne is a IT girl, a top model. British top model, and she's part of our ambassador. So we've done, for example, an event in one of the stores with a painter who did a beautiful painting of Cara. So we're trying to do, you know, these disruptive events, smaller events, to ensure that people know about the brand and know that actually wearing a Swiss watch can be cool and trendy.
It's not just for the much older crowd. Emilia Szilard, the Vice President for Southeast Asia for luxury Swiss watchmaker Tag Heuer, is on the Breakfast Grill today. Let's talk a little bit about Malaysia as one of the cheapest watch prices in the world. Is that true, or is it just a myth?
Right now, it's probably true.
Okay, what makes Malaysia cheaper comparative to other markets?
Well, it's with the exchange rate right now. It's probably one of the lowest price. However, we review the prices on a regular basis and ensure that the price is the same in every country in the world. So even if you go to Switzerland, you would have a similar price as other countries.
So even factoring GST, well, we still consider it one of the cheapest places?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. You've debunked the myth. Okay, but I'm sure with the potential of this market to grow comes the challenges. And I know you look at Indonesia, Thailand, Indochina, Singapore, of course, as well as Malaysia. Issues of counterfeiting and knockoffs and fakes, is that a big concern for Tag Heuer?
I wouldn't say it's my main concern. It is a concern, definitely, that we're working on. The challenges in the region would be this year more around the economic and political outlook. In Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, we've had a few of these challenges, and we continue to grow. So, you know, that's the hard work of the team, of the retailers. What we're seeing also is a drop of traffic, so including Singapore, Malaysia also. There's a drop of traffic, so both tourists or locals, not coming as much to the mall. In a way, I would say the consumer sentiment, you could feel that there's a bit less drive to spend money.
Right.
So we have to face with this. So, you know, as a retail business, we really focus on conversion. How can we improve our conversion in the store, so sell more to the people that are coming to our stores? And another challenge we face would be the rents in all the malls are still very expensive. This is something that, you know, we have to deal with.
So under your portfolio, which are the bright spots? I mean, I know overall there's pressure on consumer sentiment is probably taking a toll, but are you seeing glimmers of hope in, you know, the new markets of Indochina perhaps?
Well, I think, you know, our strategy is to focus on expanding where we have promising markets. Can be, yes, indeed, in China, but still, you know, in Malaysia, for me, yes, I think there's still a lot of possibilities for us to increase our distribution, or Indonesia. Okay. Most of our distribution is in Jakarta, for example. So there's still a lot of growth we can have from Southeast Asia.
Lots of ground to cover as well in Indonesia. Well, tell us your outlook for 2016.
Even if the environment was challenging, our results were good. So I would be positive thinking that, you know, we are taking market share. With a connected watch, it will be probably an amazing year. So I'm really looking forward to having it here in Southeast Asia. We have the base to be successful next year. So the outlook is to continue to focus on our bestsellers, continue to focus on innovating when we do our events and our communication strategy, and to expand in the geographical areas where there's promises.
I've been speaking to Amelia Szilard, the Vice President for Southeast Asia for luxury Swiss watchmaker Teg Hoyer. Thanks so much for being on the Breakfast Grill.
Thank you very much.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.